On a Monday morning, 6th of July, welcome to the show. If you're just joining us, just tuning in, well, you're catching a Monday morning ripple. Penny Faree is in the house with a feel-good local news story to start your week off on the right note. And morning, Penny, how you doing?
Morning, Mark. Good morning to all our North Coast listeners. And we are so excited because it's a, you know, it's holidays, the Bleater Pro's on, there's a lot happening on our North Coast, and we're obviously kicking off today with a very positive story, you know, to get every listener just on a positive note, because we've got so much negativity going on around us. So today on The Ripple, we're going to be featuring some conservancy that's played a very integral role in our community. Now, the Dolphin Coast has become one of the fastest growing coastal regions, and as our town expands and new development continues to shape the landscape, protecting the natural environment which makes the area so special has never been so important. And for decades, the Dolphin Coast Conservancy has worked to conserve and enhance the area's natural heritage, whether it's restoring indigenous vegetation, removing invasive alien plants, promoting environmental education, supporting community conservation projects, or encouraging residents to become custodians of their local environment. The Conservancy plays a very important role in preserving the character of the North Coast. And we're going to introduce you to the organization today, person behind the work that they do to ensure the future generations can continue to enjoy the beauty of our North Coast. And the Conservancy recently entered a new chapter following the retirement of long-serving chairperson Di Jones. She led the organization for 24 years and became a very respected voice for environmental stewardship on the Dolphin Coast. And today that legacy continues under the new leadership of the Conservancy's new chairperson, Tessa Duane, who joins us in the studio. Tessa.
Morning, Penny.
Morning,
Mark.
Tessa. Thanks for joining us on a Monday ripple.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Now, you've taken over from Di Jones. She had 24 years of leading the Conservancy. What has the transition been like, firstly? And then I asked someone in a studio today, well, this morning, she, little Gen Z, she says, what does a Conservancy do? I said, well, that is exactly what we're going to talk about. So.
Thank you, Penny. And I think that is part of the challenge in this area, is the Conservancy has actually been around for more than 30 years. So like you said, it has been an integral part of protecting what we have here, what we love about our Dolphin Coast. And despite all the good work it's done over the years, discovering that there are very few people who really know who we are, what we do, or how they can maybe get involved with the work we do. So thank you for having me on this morning. It's great to have an opportunity to share a bit more about who the Conservancy is and what we aim to do.
Yeah. And what sort of areas, what are the main areas of work that you do? I know working as a community journalist for many years, a lot of the environmental issues that I used to tackle, I used to bring in Di Jones because she had such a wealth of expertise. It was from the air quality, the illegal dump sites. She also helped me lead the fire to try and, you know, promote it and get everyone aware of what was going on. What are the areas of focus that the Conservancy actually looks at?
Yeah, so it's a pretty holistic, it's very broad. Yeah. And that's what also makes it quite daunting, is deciding what to focus on, because from invasive vegetation that's taking over and threatening our natural biodiversity to the illegal sand mining, which is massive with all the development in this area.
Okay.
Obviously, the closer you source your sand, the cheaper your transport costs.
Yes.
So we're calling on people who are building to please check the source of where their sand's coming. Be ethical
it's
about
it. It's interesting.
Your sand.
We need to highlight a little bit that from future ones, hey?
Yes, definitely going forward. I know Di and I went for a drive the other day to check try and get to the river, and a lot of it's boomed off now.
Oh, really?
Someone came running at us. We did a quick U-turn and zooted out of
there. Which river was that?
Amshlali River.
Oh, really?
After the fish kill we had at the beginning of this year.
And you were one of the people on the ground when that happened. Can you just give us a little bit of background? I know it became a massive outcry And you went there and you filmed it and you spread very quickly and you got the authorities there. That was almost a watchdog role that you played there.
Yeah. So I heard about the fish kill. So I went straight to Tinley and was actually horrified to see the scale of the die off and just how bad it really was. Yeah. And from there, that obviously has led into more of what actually went wrong. So there definitely was. You know, it was very hot. We hadn't had rain, if you remember all of that. Yeah, but there were definitely other factors at play. And we would really like, we are actually on a kind of subcommittee now with a few other role players to look at the health of the Umhlanga River and tackling some of those issues and just trying to make sure that that kind of thing doesn't happen again and protecting our natural environment. Obviously, our river systems, our estuaries are so important. So,
wow.
Yeah. And you know, one of the wins was the recent there was a lot of, it's been a lot of media attention around the Club Med and the shark nets. And, I know you, it was almost like a David and Goliath. There was a public participation meeting. It was almost a given that the Sharks Board was going to install the shark nets at Tinley Manor. And a lot of people weren't aware that there is a massive marine protected area there that that the public weren't aware of. And the repercussions of what would happen if the shark nets were actually installed. And you and a number of environmental, who took the baton upon themselves. And what is the outcome of that now with the nets? Are they going to be installed? What has actually transpired?
Okay, so that's in process still.
Yes.
They're going to do a full EIA, which could take a year even to get, or more possibly to get results. The municipality is heading that up. Obviously, we are hoping that the right thing will be done and that shark nets won't be installed because the massive impact that that will have on our marine areas.
And is that a protected area? Can you just tell?
There's a marine protected area just north of Tinley. So I think it's about 80 meters from where the proposed shark nets are going north.
Wow.
An area that was, set up a few years ago because we had seen such a loss of marine life in this area, and they realized the need to create a reserve to encourage breeding and to get the species back.
And has
to what
it been successful? Have the conservationists seen an increase in the marine life?
It has been. They are definitely seeing more marine life. And that's one thing. The sea is able to bounce back if we give it a chance. But if we go in there and interfere and shark nets are essentially a culling device. They cull the shark population. That's how they operate.
And a lot of other things as well.
And a lot of other things. Obviously, the dolphins, the turtles,
and there's also someone said there was also a little breeding ground for turtles as well. There's a lot of baby turtles on that side
Heading north from there. So, the whales yesterday were moving up the coast. All those things can be threatened by the nets.
And there are the alternatives. We highlighted that there are actually options other than the shark nets, which actually are becoming very dated, because there are a lot of countries that are looking at other alternatives. And just what we're looking at the development on the North Coast and the massive influx of buildings and everything, do you think there's a threat, or is it possible to have a balance between environment and development? Is there a holistic relationship, or
that's what we have to? Last night I was going through some of the minutes from the Conservancy, and I found minutes from a meeting in 1997.
Wow!
Where the Conservancy, it had been noted that they were concerned about the unchecked development in the area.
Oh wow!
back in nearly how many years?
Yeah, exactly. So I thought, and back then we had no idea what was coming.
It's a tsunami.
Yes, but what I really appreciated was even back then they realized we needed to protect. They were stepping in where developments were coming, making sure dunes were protected on the coastal developments, making sure trees, weren't cut, milkweeds were protected, stormwater runoff was done properly. So I think we have, we don't realize how much we have to actually thank the Conservancy, the people that stood all those years ago and realized we have value in our environment and we need to protect it from the get-go.
And right now, in 2026, with such a wide net of issues that you're trying to keep tabs on and have an impact on, what's the need like within the organization as the Dolphin Coast Conservancy? What's the call to action, and how can good people and organizations get behind you and get involved?
Okay, thanks, Mike. Yeah, that's we definitely need more people on board because of the amount of issues we would like to tackle. And so we want people to, first of all, follow us on Facebook. That would be a first step, just to see who we are and what we do.
Now, make sure you follow the right Facebook page, because there's an old one that's not the right one.
Yes, thank you.
Follow the one with the white flower at the moment.
Yes.
And it's your full name, the Dolphin Coast
Conservancy. Yeah, yeah. So if you Google, if you put that in, you'll see two pages come up. Yeah. Don't follow the one with the rubbish bin. I don't know how to get rid of that, but there's one with a white flower.
We'll help you get that one down.
If anyone listening who wants to donate some of their time to help sort that issue out, that would
thank
be
you. Yes, thank you.
Very appreciated.
Yeah. We are very basic social media, but we're getting there because we've realized, actually, the Conservancy, if I look at our membership, I'm probably one of the youngest members, and it's definitely become, and I think we see this a lot across volunteer organizations. Yes. There's a massive shortage of young people, families.
I call it the missing middle.
Yes.
You know, the families that are here with their kids, those are the people that should become a little bit more active in the environment. And this is, you know, this is for their children. And it's just, it floors me that the meetings are always the older generation. Pensioners.
I went to the KZN Conservancy meeting. We're part of that umbrella organization. Yes. And when I got back, I said to my husband, gee, if you ever want to feel young, go to some volunteer meeting.
Go to a ratepayers organization meeting.
Yes, hey. Done that too. So, yes, please get involved. To join and become a member, it's only 200 Rand for the year for a family or individual. Corporate memberships, 500 Rand. It's not steep, but at least you're part of the solution, part of what we're trying to do. And obviously, if you have a real passion and would like to be actively involved, and actually come on board, if you have expertise or just a willing pair of hands, then please reach out to me, because obviously we love those kind of members the most.
Yeah.
And we would like to do more, which requires more manpower, more involvement. So
it's a vital organization at a vital time in the growth and development of this part of the country. And if we don't get that balance right between ecology and development, it would be a tragedy and a real loss for all those people who love nature and love the natural wonders that we have around us. And hopefully we want to continue to enjoy for years to come.
Exactly. Those green spaces, you know, that's what brings...
Yeah, protecting our green spaces.
Yeah, so mental important. Health brings joy. Yeah. It's so good for us and so important that we look after them.
You know, as media, I've always known that you guys have played such a good role, a watchdog role, very quietly, always behind the scenes. And I cannot stress how important it is to have an organization like that in our community that is actively watching what's going on, because so many people aren't aware, or they're just too busy, or they have a mentality that it's someone else's problem. So everyone needs to take some sort of active role in preserving our environment.
I think often, you know, we have so many estates in this area, and people think they live in their estate, and this is like a group for other, you know, people who are not in estates. Yeah. But anyone who uses our beaches, who uses a beach access, who parks in a beach car park, who goes to the Amshadi post office or the Salt Rock Library, you know, we maintain, we clear... Yes. We're involved in all those public spaces. Public open space is actually our mandate. So it's for everyone. If you're in a state, we're still helping you. We're still serving you. We're still looking after your environment. That drive you do where you enjoy the indigenous trees, those were probably planted by the Conservancy. The whole Salt Rock Road was a Conservancy project. Simbiti Drive, those trees were the Conservancy.
Wow. Well, you're getting the story now. If you didn't know, now you do know a little bit about the amazing and diverse work that the Dolphin Coast Conservancy does. And you've been hearing it from our special guest this morning, Tessa Duane, local resident and chair of the Dolphin Coast Conservancy, as it enters a new chapter. And with your help, dear listener, this could be the best chapter yet. So please like and follow. Look for the Facebook page, the one with the white flower, the one with the dustbin. And if you're able to donate and get involved in any way, shape or form, your participation will be so appreciated. And Penny, thanks for bringing us this edition of The Ripple.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you so much, Tessa. We're going to be monitoring and also looking at some of the projects that you will be following.
I'll make sure I get them up on that Facebook page.
Yay, you're hearing it here. Radio Life and Style coming to you live from the heart of Bolito on a marvelous Monday morning. Back to the music right now.